Love that song, and I enjoy hearing the ladies sing. Enjoy the music of Heritage Baptist Church. What a blessing. If you would, your Bibles this morning to Philippians chapter 3, our theme verse. We're going to preach through the chapter, and so we'll begin in verses 1 through 3 this morning. The one thing, and so I do want to get right into it because I want to spend some time at the end of the service today talking about ministry involvement. I look forward to tonight. We'll do an extended version of ministry involvement night like we normally do, but we want to at least expose the morning crowd, the first service and the second service, to the needs of each ministry as we go into the new year. And so just want to encourage you on that. So Philippians chapter 3, one thing. Today's title is No Confidence in the Flesh. So what is the obstacles to the one thing? The one thing being Jesus Christ. What are the obstacles that we have in making or, again, having the goal of the one thing? And one of the obstacles in having the one thing, and Jesus Christ, again, being on the throne of your heart, and Him being the main thing, is our flesh. And so Paul goes right into that this morning. Look at verse 1. Finally, my brother. And I know it's not funny, but he says finally, it's just halfway through. Some of y'all get that, some of you don't. Some preachers, you know, say they're about ready to be done and still halfway done. I'm really not that way, but I know some people do that. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same things to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Have no confidence in that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless the time. Bless the Word of God as it's being preached this morning. I do pray that you would help us again to have no confidence in the flesh. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. Amen. One thing. Again, we live in the midst of competing priorities. All of us in our lives have competing priorities. We're pulled in many different directions. So many of us have many irons in the fire, and we find ourselves, again, just frazzled. I think about, again, the quote from Benjamin Franklin. He talked about being the jack of all trades. He was really talking to men, actually was talking to young men when he was addressing that, and that every man, all boys, should be taught a little about everything. In fact, girls ought to as well. Everybody ought to be taught a little bit about everything. But the quote is not jack of all trades, the master of none. That's not the actual quote by Benjamin Franklin. The actual quote is the jack of all trades. You should know a little bit about everything, but you should be the master of one, the master of one. And that's exactly it. We understand that Jesus Christ ought to be the one thing. And again, we have all these other things going on in our lives, but Christ ought to be the main thing. Again, we're trying to juggle everything and everyone, and then trying to please everyone. And trying to meet that demand and please everyone is exhausting. How many of y'all would agree with that? It's exhausting when you're trying to please everybody, when you're trying to do everything. So the thought here is to simplify your life. I'm talking about as a child of God, you really can simplify your life. You can simplify your priorities. You can simplify it. And that is the one thing is the priority. Jesus Christ is the priority. Again, if you please Him, your other relationships and other priorities will fall in place. And this is absolutely true. When I was a youth pastor years and years and years ago, my theme verse for our youth department was 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. You think about that for a moment as we understand what John is saying there. He's saying that if we will have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and we will walk in His light, we will walk in His direction, we will keep Him as the main thing, we will keep our eyes on Him, then all the other relationships will fall in place. All the other relationship, all the other priorities will be what they're supposed to be if we keep the one thing, the one thing. One thing, what is that? Pleasing Him. One thing, if we're pleasing Him, then our relationship with our spouse will be right. If we're pleasing Him, our relationship with our kids will be right. If we're pleasing Him, and we'll be right with our neighbor and right with our co-workers. Right with the little league coach that you're mad at. Because he didn't put your son out on third base. He your daughter out on a second date or whatever. That never happens. So. I'm preaching to the wrong crowd. The crowd's a little older. Jeremiah, don't get mad at the little league coach, okay? If our relationship with the Lord is right, then the relationship with others will be what it's supposed to be. If we keep the one thing, the main thing, then everything else falls in place. I think a good illustration of this is couples. If you think about marriage and couples loving each other, and husband and wife loving each other, how does that happen? How does that love happen? Well, that love happens because you spent time together. You spent time together, not just spending time together, but time together getting to know each other. Asking questions like, what's your favorite color? You know, what's your favorite food? And on and on and on, and just have ended up with, even us men have, especially in the courting phase and that dating phase of asking lots of questions, and as you become more and more personal with that individual, you begin to have feelings for them. And then if they're the right one, you end up falling in love with them. Spending time with them, getting to know them, getting to know their likes and their dislikes, getting to know their personality, all of those things help us to fall in love with each other. Well, it's the same thing with the Lord. You want to know Him, you get to know Him, you get to know the things He wants you to do, the things He doesn't want you to do, you get to know who He is, His personality, His joy, His sorrow, all those things. As we do, we fall in love with Him. I would encourage you, we all need to fall in love with Jesus all over. We really do. All of us need to fall into the love of Jesus all over. The one thing. And if we're going to do that, we must spend time with Him. We must spend time getting to know Him. Again, not others, not self, but the one thing. Paul says here we should have no confidence in the flesh. And we must be careful that we are not concentrating on self, but concentrating on Him. Again, we live in a humanistic society. We live in a culture, a social culture, which emphasizes self so much. You know, that you're supposed to keep yourself as the main thing. And that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we should keep Christ in it. He should be the one. So here Paul says in verse 1, he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. I think about over in chapter 4 where he says, rejoice there in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We preached on this just here a few weeks ago that we ought to always rejoice in the Lord. Always rejoice. Always have that joy that only comes from the Holy Spirit the Lord gives us. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, we should rejoice in Christ. He is our joy. He is our hope. I'm looking forward to His return, aren't you? In fact, the Old Testament, Nehemiah said in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, think about this, as they had completed the walls, as they were setting up the social order of Jerusalem after rebuilding the city, now rebuilding the walls, ready to govern the city as it should be governed, they began to seek the Lord. And we do know to a certain extent revival broke out. And there he says, the joy of the Lord, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says, Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Isn't that something? The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's pretty awesome. When we experience joy, when we have joy, it strengthens us. It strengthens us. How do we have that? Well, we walk with Him. We have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We're reading our Bibles. We're praying. We're giving. We're telling others of Jesus. We're being faithful to church. All these things, as we walk with the Lord, as we have a personal fellowship, personal walk with Him, we experience joy. And as we experience this joy from walking with the Lord, it strengthens us. It strengthens us to deal with our children. It strengthens us to have a relationship, the proper and right relationship with our spouse. It strengthens us if we deal with the everyday priorities and the everyday grind. It strengthens us for these things. That joy strengthens us. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy as you deal with finances and health and family and job. All that comes from the Lord. Rejoicing in Him. Rejoicing in Him. And then he says, Paul says this. He says, I rejoice in the Lord to write the same thing to you. To me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. He says, He said, I have no problem repeating some truth to you. Review is the best teacher. That's what he said. Review is the best teacher. He said, I'm writing 13 times Paul repeats these truths that are found in this chapter. 13 times. He said, that is not grievous. That word grievous, we could use the word irksome. Or, it's not a problem to repeat these truths to you. Out at the Norris Bible Seminary, where I teach and Brother Wiggins teaches, Brother Cox teaches out there, there are a few doctors that we rely on. And one of the doctors we rely on is Dr. Review. Dr. Review. Dr. Review is a great teacher. As we are reminded of the great truths of the Bible, over and over and over again, it should not be grievous to us. It should not be a problem to us. Sometimes we hear, like for Easter Sunday, we preach on the cross, and I think every time I get up to preach that, I think there are many people in the auditorium who've heard this 1,000 times, and it's just not the same anymore. We need to be careful. Paul says, hey, I'm repeating these things to you because it's needful. It's the right thing to do. It shouldn't be grievous to you because for you it is safe. It is safe. There's safety in the truths of the Bible. There's safety in repeating the truths of the Bible. One year, D.L. Moody was in England, in that area, the United Kingdom. It wasn't the United Kingdom back then, but he actually was in Ireland preaching. And after he got done preaching, a young man came up to him, introduced himself, and said, hey, I'm Pastor so-and-so from it was a little country church there in Ireland somewhere. And he said, man, just great job. And just complimenting D.L. Moody. And he asked D.L. Moody, he said, I want to come to your church and preach. I want to come to your church and preach. D.L. Moody just whatever. So finally D.L. Moody said, yeah, if you're ever in, you know, ever in Chicago, let me know. Come and preach. Never thinking, I think his last name of his man was Moorhead or something like that. Never thought in a million years this young man would show up in America from Ireland. This is in the 1800s. And he means he's got to take a ship over. I mean, it's a big deal. And one day, the young man shows up to church, says, I'm here, I'm ready to preach. D.L. Moody, who pastored at that time, probably the largest church in America, said, okay. Anyway, he got up to preach that morning. The young man preached on John 3:16. John 3:16. A super simple message. But according to D.L. Moody, it was an amazing message. So he asked the young man to preach again that night. When the young man came back that night, he preached John 3:16 again. And it was so good, D.L. Moody said, hey, let's have a week-long conference, and I want you to preach some more. And he came back on Monday night, and he preached John 3:16 again. And he preached John 3:16 again Tuesday night, all week. D.L. Moody testifies it was amazing, and the young man was asked the question, why do you keep preaching the same truth? He said, because they haven't got it to preach. And then this is the first time he's going to keep on preaching it. And we see this in Paul's life as he just continues to be repetitive, continues to review the same biblical truths. And I think the point today, again, is about being careful with this old flesh. And our flesh is weak. Our flesh is weak. And Paul said, when we're weak, he is strong. Our flesh is weak, and it just reminds us how we need the Lord. And there in verse 2, he says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. And here is just... he's just saying, hey, be careful. Beware of the false teachers. And we spent some time on this in the book of Jude, understanding that we live in a day in which there are many, multiple false teachers. There's a lot of false religions out there today, more so than ever before. A lot of weird stuff being preached, and a lot of people speaking on TV who have no business being there, preaching false truth. He says, beware of dogs. Beware of these false teachers. There's so much there, but here he names and uses, again, by the Jews, for the Gentiles. We think about this beware of dogs and how it's used. Dogs is how they refer to Gentiles. Jews would refer to Gentiles that way. Paul's thought, and again, the back here is thinking about these wolves in sheep's clothing. Wolves in sheep's clothing. Beware of these evildoers, these false teachers. Many of them think they're doing good, but they're evil. Many of them think they're preaching and teaching truth, but they're evil. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'm going to turn there real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm finding the Bible somewhere. Page it back. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into an apostle of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if he ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. In other words, be careful, because these teachers, these false teachers, come as wolves in sheep's clothing. They come as light. They seem right. They seem to teach truth and preach truth, but they are false ministers who have transformed themselves into ministers of righteousness. These evildoers, these ones who are morally bankrupt. We need to be careful. Be careful. Be care of the concision. Be care of these false teachers, those who would go back and teach works for salvation, Judaizers. I was again confronted with 2 weeks ago with someone who was asking a lot of questions about salvation and giving me different verses about salvation and picking out a few verses here and there that seem to teach that you can earn your way to heaven. I said to them, listen, there are a couple of verses in the Bible hard to be understood. It's simply because one verse says that, or one verse seems to imply that baptism saves you, does not mean baptism saves you. When the Bible 100 times, if not 1,000 times, teaches that we are saved by grace through faith. And the Bible would never contradict itself. You don't take one verse and pull it out of context and use it as a means to teach Bible doctrine. You take the Bible as a whole. It's the river of Revelation. Take it from Genesis to Revelation. And we should use it in context. We need to be careful about false teachers, those who would have us be underneath this doctrine of works. The old flesh is weak. The old flesh says, well, if I'm going to gain something, I got to work for it. But salvation doesn't work that way. See, we don't work for salvation. Jesus Christ did all the work for us. It's not about what we do or what we've done. It's about what he did on the cross at Calvary when he shed his blood and was buried and rose again the third day. We should have not have confidence in flesh. Verse 3, for we are the circumcision, talking about Jews, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Again, when he refers to we are the circumcision, he's referring to the Jews, or he's referring also to true believers. We are true believers. We are the ones who have been saved, who have trusted Christ as their Savior. Colossians chapter 2 talks about those who have been saved or of the circumcision of the heart. I'm glad I've been adopted in the family of God, aren't you? I'm glad I'm a spiritual son and you're a spiritual daughter of Abraham. That's why we can sing, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I've had that question asked before. Preacher, why are kids singing that? We're not Jews. We are spiritual Jews. We are spiritual sons and daughters of Abraham, the Bible says in Hebrews. We are children of Abraham. Spiritual children. So, we are the true believers, Paul says, who worship in spirit, true worshipers, not worshiping in the flesh. True worshipers don't worship, not concerned about outward ceremonies, but concerned about the heart. As I said, we all need to fall in love with Jesus all over again. We all need a renewed heart. We should have no confidence in the flesh. Our flesh is weak. We are to be focused on Christ, not focused on ourselves. That goes against the world's philosophy. It goes against things I was taught since the eighth grade when I was taught about self-esteem and all those things. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have a proper view of yourself. You should have a proper view. You shouldn't think horrible things about yourself, bad things about yourself. You shouldn't have a low self-image of yourself. But how do we have the proper image of ourselves? How do we attain that? How do we know how to have a proper view of ourselves? By having a proper view of Jesus. By putting him in the right place where he should be. And when he's in his right place in our lives, when he's in the right frame of thought in our own heart and mind, then we will have a proper view of ourselves. We'll think properly about ourselves. We'll think properly about our flesh. Paul again, no confidence in the flesh, no confidence in self. And he goes on to say, and we'll cover it next week, he says that if anybody had confidence in self, he said, I could have. And he goes on to give his credentials. He had pretty high credentials. No confidence in self. Salvation is by faith. Salvation is by grace through faith. Ephesians says, salvation is by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not a work that's in the name of God. Salvation is by faith. It's a heart issue, not a flesh issue. Worship is by faith. We worship Him by faith. Our confidence in Him, trusting in Him, placing our whole heart and lives and minds and will and emotion in Him. We don't put our confidence in the flesh. We put our confidence in Him. Paul said these truths are needful. These truths are needful. The truth that we should make Christ number one in our life. That He should be number one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Set your affections on things above. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Keep your eyes on Him. Make Him priority in your life. Number one, in front of your spouse, before your kids, before your job. Christ, number one. And have no confidence in the flesh. Rejoice in the Lord. Listen, we need to understand that the joy we experience is connected to our relationship with Jesus. How's your relationship with Jesus? How is your walk with Him? Is it what it should be? I mean, all of us in the new year start out by, ready to go, right? Ready to, we all start a new diet. We all start a new exercise program. Lots and lots of gyms are full. In the first week of January, and then by the end of January, everybody's forgot about it and gone back to work. Most people. We all have New Year's resolutions, or most of us do, make goals for ourselves. And I think that's good. I think I do every year. I set goals for myself. But we all have a goal of reading our Bibles every day and having those things. And how are you doing? It's the 23rd of January. How's your Bible reading going? How's your daily Bible reading going? How's your prayer life going? How's your devotional time with your kids and maybe the grandkids? How's their devotional time? How's their couple devotional time going? How's your giving doing? Are you giving, and are you being faithful, and all those things that you know you should do as a Christian? Are you walking with the Lord? Because joy is connected to walking with Jesus. Connected to keeping the main thing the main thing. As we walk in this life, as we go throughout this life, we need to beware of false teachers. We need to beware. Those individuals come and knock on your door and got the little name tags on them. Beware of false teachers. Beware what you allow yourself to influence you. And then we should have, again, no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh when it comes to salvation. Salvation is found in Christ and Christ alone. If you want to escape hell and have a home in heaven, you've got to put your confidence and your trust in Jesus Christ. Not in yourself, not in baptism, not in your good works, not in your family heritage. You've got to put your confidence in Jesus Christ, believing that He lived, He died, and rose again, and paid for your sins. He paid for mine. He died in my place. He took the penalty of my sins on the cross. He died for me. Shed His blood for me. He rose again that I might have eternal life. We don't put confidence in the flesh when it comes to salvation. And we shouldn't put confidence in the flesh when it comes to living. When I'm living this life, when I'm dealing with issues in my life, when I'm dealing with finances, when I'm dealing with health, when I'm dealing with my job and my spouse and my kids, all those things, we need to be careful about having confidence in ourselves. I thank the Lord for my family. And as we were raising our kids, I thank the Lord that God enabled us to raise the family the way we did. God's so good. And it's much easier to make the one thing instead of many things. Put your confidence in Jesus Christ. Rely on Him. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, we don't rejoice in ourselves. We don't rejoice in so flesh. But we put our confidence and trust in the Lord. We put our confidence and trust in the one thing. Are you putting your confidence in yourself? Are you relying on self when it comes to those things in your life that compete for your time and your time and your talent and your treasure? Are you putting confidence in yourself, or are you putting confidence in the Lord? See, the obstacle to making the one thing, which is Jesus Christ, the obstacle to that is our old flesh. We've got to let that flesh set it aside and put our confidence in the Lord. Let's all stand. Our verse invitation, pass me not, O gentle Savior. I don't know how the Lord's maybe talked to you, maybe the Holy Spirit spoke to you in that still small voice and said, hey, you're relying way too much on yourself. You rely on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your confidence, put your trust in Him.